Hey y'all, come on down to Shotgun Annie's Redneck Emporium. We got all kinds of stuff here at our emporium. We got possum whistles, firemouth catchers, tractor horns, mother-in-law slappers, little candies shaped like trucker hats, wrangling buckets, child-sized working gloves for detasseling, shucking mother shuckers, baby croc booter schnocks, leather tanning equipment, all kinds of cans of tire retreader, personal defense latex suits, light dimmers, also known as hammers, liquid base spray-on mascara, two, count them, two, hottie hot toddies. We got all kinds of bait here. We got gator bait, possum bait, deer bait, tractor bait, snake bait, veggie bait, bat bait, fish bait, master bait, skeeter bait, goat bait, squirrel bait, goose bait, duck bait, jail bait, fox bait, bear bait, and Jason Bateman. And last but not least, we got all kinds of boobies and glocks. Everyone's welcome at Shotgun Andy's Redneck Emporium, except kids. I am legally restricted to a distance of 1,000 feet from everyone under the age of 18.
What does meta mean?
I don't know. It's something you say when somebody does something like that. Say it's meta.
That's stupid. Hello, and welcome to the Rancor's Brothel, issue number 72. I'm your co-host, Matt.
And I'm your co-host, Cody.
And with us today is an oldie but a goodie.
Cody Schroeder.
And we have two audience members here. State your names, please.
Beth, you from Joe.
Wonderful to have you, ladies. By no coincidence, one of you is having sex with my co-host. Not right this minute, though. I want to point that out.
Which one?
It is not Beth. Okay. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Not bad.
Yeah. I feel weird having the two ladies here. How are you guys? Are you doing well?
Peachy.
Peachy? Wonderful. Doing good? Okay, good. Everybody enjoyed the chili I made? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, thank you. All right. Enough small talk. What have you been reading?
Well, I have finally finished all the released Dresden Files books,
mm-hmm.
So we can now do that podcast.
All right, so Jeff Thorpe, you're on deck, sir. Well, what was there, big spider?
Dead giant spider.
Oh, yeah, I killed that the other day. We're in my garage, which now has power, thanks to Cody Grady. My new favorite electrician. You have regained the title technical director.
Ah, that's good.
Good job. Okay, so Dresden Files. I'm assuming you enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. Like I said, it takes a pretty huge turn with I believe it's Cold Days and then into Ghost Story. Like the last three or four, the series really changes and it's pretty interesting.
Changes like the last season of Lost or.
Yes, kind of like the last season of Lost. Like
Dresden's
it really...
been dead the whole time.
Yep.
Purgatory. Got it.
That's right. Exactly it.
Did you ever watch Lost?
I got to where the break is, like third season, and I was like, all right, nah, done.
Spoilers.
All done. Finished.
Spoilers. Purgatory.
They're dead. Okay.
But no, else? I think what's really great about him is because he's been releasing about one book a year, and he's got like 14 of them out or something like that. And he's done a really good job of bringing back characters that you haven't seen for 4, 5, 6 books.
Okay, like Harry Potter, kind of?
Yeah, a little bit, but he distances himself even more than, like, J.K. Rowling would do. So, I mean, you've got characters who are the last book, you've got in Skin Game, you've got characters totally out of action that haven't been in any books for a number, and then he suddenly shows up, and they used to be best friends, and now they've kind of drifted apart, and you have that whole scene that you've been kind of waiting for the last 5 books. So he's really playing sort of a long, complex story. It's pretty fascinating.
Neat. I can't get over the fact that I'm looking at you with lights on in my garage. This is so fucking cool. I cussed. Okay. I gotta bleep that. 349. Got it. Yeah. Did I? Crap. Okay. I'm gonna go through and bleep all those. Sorry. So that's all you've been reading then?
Pretty much, yeah.
You up on your comics at all?
Haven't been doing too much on the comics, although I did just get in the mail John Graham's Kickstarter for Brother Keeper and his Zombie Almanac, so I'll be reading those. And I got a Kickstarter for a World War Cthulhu book, which Ooh. It's all Cthulhu, brand new Cthulhu stories, but they're all based around the theme of war, some of them going back to, like, ancient Roman, you know, Trojan War type things, and then stuff that's like Cthulhu stuff out in space.
Okay.
So, should be really good. They've already greenlit the sequel, so that's kind of surprising.
Very nice. You know, Cthulhu, I need to finish reading Lindustria Inferni, written by Lucas Patterson, available at Amazon.com now for your reading pleasure, which is, again, a steampunk mafia story. It's pretty sweet so far. So I need to finish that, because I haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to go back to Westeros and finish my Game of Thrones. Then I need to read the new vampire novel by Anne Rice.
That comes out, what?
That comes out, like, the 28th, I think? Yeah. And then I can, I'm going to go into the Lovecraft, finally.
They're short stories. You can pick them up whenever yeah. you want.
Yeah, and I just listened to Blurry Photos' Cthulhu episode.
Oh,
I'm listening
Ken
to
Hite?
Yeah. And I'm just intensely interested now, after listening to all that, and the influences that Lovecraft has had on the horror that I love today.
Yeah, no, I've got to, that's going to be posted on our Call of Cthulhu group, because I just listened to that podcast as well. It's fascinating. Ken Hite is, if you had to rank, like, the top five people who know the most about Lovecraft and the Cthulhu mythos, he's in that top five. He's lower on the top five. He's not one of the top three, but, I mean, he is, he really knows his stuff. It's a great, great episode of Blurry Photos.
So, I'm enjoying the crap out of that. I did read Walking Dead, issue 132, which came on my poll recently. And spoilers. Spoilers. If you don't want to hear about The Walking Dead, just fast forward like 3 minutes. We talked before about, like, I told you the zombies were whispering.
Yes.
So, it's people wearing zombie suits. Like, they have skinned zombies and fashioned masks and gloves and things. And they walk in herds.
Huh.
And that's how they get from point A to point B. When they're traveling long distances, they walk as zombies. And the guy says, like, as they're attacking some regular humans with knives, and they're like, why is a zombie stabbing me? And he says, the walkers, he whispers, so he's like, the walkers don't notice us when we whisper. And it's all creeptacular.
Huh.
But then, like, the last panel is a full page of, it's a full splash of a dude that you can clearly see, like, it's stitched down the middle of the face. So.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
So I always thought the, oh, I guess that keeps in continuity with Walking Dead, though, because they've always talked about it being the smell
yeah.
that sets them apart.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, because they have many times on the show and in the comics smeared themselves in zombie gore in order to pass unnoticed, which I'm sure we all noticed from the Walking Dead episode premiere last week.
So he's kind of taking the Shaun of the Dead approach, where they're just pretending to be zombies to avoid him.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So pretty neat, but they seem to be pretty bad people, too, so...
Well...
Since they were killing, like, our nice group of heroes. So we'll have to find out what happens. And then I noticed, also, they brought up in this issue, that since they've done the flash forward, which I think we're now in, like, 6 issues of that,
right.
Michonne hasn't showed up yet, and they just referenced, like, since what happened to Michonne. I'm like, what happened to Michonne?
We don't know.
So I got kind of worried about that. So still waiting to hear about that. I did go at the Androids Dungeon in scenic Avon, Indiana. I did pick up a variant issue. Now, I have my pull list at Downtown Comics West. So the fourth and final Death of Wolverine issue is there waiting for me. But they had a sweet Canadian variant for sticker price, for regular price at the Androids Dungeon. Which, if you want to get variant copies, let me tell you right now, go to the Androids Dungeon. Because he doesn't mark it up a whole bunch. He doesn't mark it up at all. Or maybe he marked it up $1. I think I paid $4.99 or $3.99, something like that.
Well, $3.99 is probably cover for it.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would assume so.
So then I paid $4.99.
I think DC is the only one who's mass marketing books right now at $2.99. Everybody else has gone to $3.99.
Okay.
It sucks because
I love Marvel. Although most of my pull is Batman stuff, so I guess that's all right. So I will be able to sit down and read, because remember, I've been saving those books. I wanted to read it all in one fell swoop, so it's time.
Well, I think the trick is that you need to get an omnibus of Lovecraft, and that's like a perfect, like, 20-minute bathroom session story, because they're only a few pages.
Please, I poop half an hour, minimum.
Well, there you go. That's then something. You can fit in 2 for every session.
I always feel bad at work when I have to have somebody come relieve me so that I can go to the restroom, because I'm like, you're going to be here for, like, 45 minutes. I'm so sorry. And then that's extra embarrassing because then that person now knows that I take forever to poop. So I'm just putting it on Front Street for everybody. I poop long time.
Wrong time.
Long, long time. Cody, you been reading anything, buddy? Schroeder,
yeah.
I mean.
I've basically just read stuff that I've stolen from Grady. I think I've read the first couple of issues of Preacher.
Okay.
Because you only borrowed the first trade from me, right?
The first trade of Preacher, first trade of The Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the first volume of Daredevil?
Yeah, that was the first 12 issues of Mark Waid's Daredevil.
Yeah. The first two trades of Hellblazer, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been branching out.
Constantine, the TV show, coming very soon. Super it's next weekend. It's next Friday.
Next Friday.
Yeah. So I set the DVR. I'm ready.
It's another show to add to the list.
Yeah, TV right now is just... I mean, we're at the perfect point. I can't stress it enough. I'm even ready to like start watching Arrow. I'm going to try it again.
You know? Got that second season queued up in Netflix.
Yeah, so, you ready for it?
Yeah, I started Blacklist.
Right now it's season 3, correct?
Yes.
Yes, season 3.
My binge watching is Trailer Park Boys, and then it will be Arrow when I'm done with that. I'm in like season, I don't know, 5 of Trailer Park Boys out of 8. So
I told you, I haven't watched it, but my understanding is that after 2 full seasons now, he's no longer the Hood. He's actually become who we would think of as Ollie. I mean, like, Green Arrow is set in stone, but they took 2 full seasons to tell that story, which is insane. It's awesome. I mean, it's great that we've got so much comic book stuff out there, but it's really hard to keep up with all of this stuff.
And my issue, again, is like, I brought it up today at our book club meeting, which, for the record, the next book club at the Androids Dungeon is November 1st, 3:30 p.m., and we'll be doing Volume 1 of Fables. But anyway, I Starling City. Like, some of those silly things like that just really irk me. You know? Like, it's not a city named for a bird. Come on, dude.
I would make fun of you for that, but then I've also been repeatedly put on the record that I hate the fact that they call him Carmine Falcone in Gotham.
That is really ridiculous. I agree with you.
Because then you would pronounce his first name Carmen.
Mm-hmm. Because
if you're going to not pronounce the E in Falcone, then you're not going to pronounce the E in Carmine.
That makes perfect sense.
It's English, people.
Carmen Falcon.
Carmen Falcon.
Carmen Falcon, the leader of the underground crime syndicate in Gotham. You know, speaking of Gotham, like, there were some searchlights last night out in Avon. Like, and I could see when I was going outside to pee or smoke last night, because I'm a barbarian, I could see them, like, swirling around off to the west. I couldn't really figure out how far away they were. Bat signal would not work. Right? I mean, because it was like low-level clouds last night. It would have been the perfect bat signal, like, time. But if your cloud is not completely perfectly flat on bottom, it's not going to work, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a little... I mean, some of the bat signals I think we've seen in more recent films have pictured that it's a low-level, almost fog-like
aspect. Yeah, it's like smog over Gotham.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. So it gives it that reflected, nice, flat, reflective surface. But yeah... The bat signal, not the most reliable of...
communication methods? Like, why don't we just send up smoke signals? Jesus.
I mean, that's one thing that the 60s Batman got right. It's like, why don't you just have a phone that directly goes to the Batcave?
I know. Why do they have to make it look like the Russian phone, like, that you always see in the movies between the president and the premier of Russia?
Because it's the most important phone that, you know, that the mayor of Gotham could have. Or the police commissioner, I guess, technically, who had it.
Who was, what was the bust in 66 Batman that they would lift up and push the button to reveal the bat poles?
Oh, who was the bust of?
Yeah. Was it Mozart?
I thought it was Shakespeare. I don't know.
You know what, listener? Fill us in. Especially Fact Checker Troy. Fact Checker Troy at book club today was amazing. That guy has some really great ideas. He is really fun to listen to, man.
You know, and he wants to be on the show. He's told me that before.
He's been on the show before, but
well, he wants to be on
he's been
the
on
show
Mad
again.
Chat, yeah. Troy, you're on deck, too, after Dresden Files. Figure out some geek topic you want to talk about, buddy, and then give me a call, all right? And I'll have you over, and we'll have beer and pizza. Okay.
Yay, beer and pizza.
Well, back in the day when we'd have guests on Mad Chat, they would come over here and record, and then I would feed them dinner every time. So that got really expensive. However, I did that tonight with you guys, so that makes sense. Huh.
I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
Good. Glad you enjoyed it. Anywho, what else TV-wise? So, Gotham Flash. Is it, you Grady, you said you hadn't watched it yet?
No. I've just been working so much. I haven't seen this week's issue of episode of Gotham.
Yeah.
Just behind.
It was real good.
To watch Gotham until Becca's done with her other stuff. Because we're going to watch it together.
Okay.
I want to watch it so bad.
You got to be careful. Like, this is how I ended up having never seen any episodes of The Walking Dead.
I'm going to end up watching it behind her back. She's got about another 2 weeks.
You know, that's like...
lose it.
That is a real thing. Like, it has been cited in several divorces where couples have cheated with Netflix.
It's going to happen.
Watched Mad Men without me! Like, that is ridiculous.
It was MasterChef for us.
Was it MasterChef?
It was MasterChef.
Why would cooking shows, man? I don't get it. Why? I want to smell it and eat it. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous me, and I respect and love your opinion, Beth. Yes, I do. Flash was awesome. Sorry. No, what were you saying? Ask her. I can edit that.
You
can
text me.
Oh, yeah, text. There you go.
21st century.
Yeah, we don't need to speak. Well, Beth dropped her beer.
Damn it!
Oh, now I gotta bleep that.
Oh, sorry.
Ah, shit, I cussed. I gotta bleep that. this is gonna be so much work. Why didn't we start doing this? I was bragging today to somebody. I was like, John Graham of fidgetpress.com, you can listen to the show now around your children. I'm not gonna cuss anymore. And then, like I've said, like 8 or 9 times now already.
Yeah.
So, whoops.
Good luck with the editing.
Yeah, thanks. I'm going to leave all this in. I don't even care. Flash was really cool. It was really enjoyable. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. And then, like, another issue I had with Arrow, like, in the beginning, like, the first season, it was, like, one bad guy the whole time, right? Wasn't it, like, Deathstroke or something? Or is he in it now, or Arrow 2, or Season 2, or whatever? On Arrow?
I haven't watched season 2.
Yeah, it was the other Archer that was the main bad guy.
Right.
John Barrowman.
So far, I mean, we're having in Flash, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but so far, I'm 2 episodes in, there is an overarching villain that the Flash doesn't know about yet, but you get glimpses of it, and, you know, it's one of his big bads. It's not like a rogues gallery guy. But then each episode has a rogues gallery dude. So, like, in the first one, it's the Weather Wizard. And episode 2, it was Multiplex, which is Multiple Man, essentially. From what I've read, they're going to continue to do that, which is really exciting to me. So, should be some good stuff.
Cool. Now, is it still, because that's on the CW, right? Is it still, like, teen drama, Smallville, CW, Vampire Diaries type stuff?
I didn't find it that way. Now, he is in love with Iris. And Iris is dating her father's police partner.
So you do have a classic love triangle.
There's something going on there, but right now it's more about, like, understanding his powers. Like, and this doesn't spoil anything because it's right on Front Street. On episode 2, he's like, he has problems. He's passing out. Yeah. And me and Natalie were watching it, and she's like, "Uh-oh, what's wrong?" I said, "It's his blood sugar. He doesn't eat enough. He's not adjusting for metabolism." And she just looked at me like, "That's stupid." And I was like, it's canon. It's in the comic books. Like, he has to eat way more than a regular person because he runs so much.
It's science.
It's science. If you could run 300 miles an hour all the time, then yes, you would need to eat a lot too. And then so, like, 3 minutes later in the episode, they're like, "Oh, it's your glucose levels. Have a power bar, Barry." And I was vindicated. Anyway, Walking Dead premiere was awesome.
I was say, you're also vindicated with your call on Gotham.
What?
When you were talking to me about what was going on between...
the lesbian love thing? Yes. Yeah. I was correct.
You were. I was sad.
So, kudos to me. I can spot a lesbian at 30 yards, I guess. I don't know. That sounds horrible. I can't. God. Delete. Where's the delete button? Okay. What else? Walking Dead. Premiere? Awesome.
Yeah, it was freaking amazing.
It was amazing. It was
very good.
Every emotion
you could ever feel in a Walking Dead episode.
I cried. I totally cried.
I had to man up because Becca and her best friend were both crying next to me.
And it's when he sees the baby.
I was like...
When Rick sees Judith and starts running, and you see him smile for, like, the first time in forever.
Oh, and there's something else. Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, is it? Yes.
What?
So good. No.
Well, oh, you're just like it's making noises. Face. Okay, yeah.
Just making noises. Talking about Rick Grimes, his reaction to the realization that
Judith is alive. Yeah. Oh, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful moment.
Tyrese is a boss.
And then I think it's also just because I'm a dad that like that stuff like really messes me up. Like when the guy was going to kill the baby, was going to kill Judith, and I was like, I was just no.
I'm also kind of a jerk because I told my fiance that that she actually died. that she was going to die in that episode that I'd read far enough in the comics. Even though I've only read the first trade.
Well, I mean, she...
and she was, like, already crying, and then all of a sudden all that happened. And
well,
good. Good for me.
You know how she dies in the comics, right?
Yes.
It's epic, and it's awful. And, like, when I was reading it for the first time, I'm laying in bed next to my, like, 8-month pregnant wife. Mm. And I'm just like, oh, God, no! So, that was fun. Anywho... I guess that about sums it up for what you've been reading and watching.
HBO, did you see that announcement?
Yes, I am all over that. I'm going to get me some HBO Go.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. We'll see. I don't know if they're going to give away HBO Go or not.
Well, whatever the subscription service is that they're doing, it's because of Game of Thrones, and that's the only thing I want HBO for.
I suppose
it works
fair.
For me, because Game of Thrones is the most pirated television show in history.
Right, but to me, the thing, reading the actual press release, it makes me wonder, are we going to get a Hulu version of HBO where we're only going to be able to watch last week's episode? Are we going to get something where they're going to open up their library so I can finally watch the freaking Sopranos?
Because
I've always wanted to see that show because I love mobster movies, but you can't get it anywhere.
Yeah, go get it at the library.
Really?
Yeah, I that's how I watch it. I got the complete series. And because, like, when you get movies at the library, it's only for 2 days. But television shows are 3 weeks.
Huh.
So you'd have it long enough to watch most of it before you'd have to renew it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That was when we first got the setup out here in the garage. That was the first thing I went and did was I got the Sopranos at the library and sat out here for, like, a week and just watched it.
Because, I mean, if you're going to get HBO Go and you're going to get that library... What sort of price point do you think they're going to set on that?
$7.99.
You think so?
I mean, they got to stay competitive with the market. They'll probably make available everything that's currently on their play at HBO. You know, like how every month they have set amount of certain things that they show.
Right.
I would imagine that would be the kind of service they would do. Otherwise, I mean...
But they have access to the...
No, it started going again. What the heck? Okay.
But they have access to that sort of premium content that you don't, is somebody going to pay? I could see them come out saying, here's our entire library. We're basically doing the Netflix model. We're going to update it day after the show drops, and we're going to set the price at $25 a month. I think people would pay that.
I'd probably pay it, to be completely honest with you, for at least the period of time that Game of Thrones is, like, on with new episodes. I would probably only do a subscription for that finite amount of time each year until that show's done.
I say because they didn't say that we're getting that you're getting HBO Go.
Mm-hmm.
They just said that they're going to go to a pay model that is outside of the cable industry.
Yeah, I think it's a bold move, and it's probably where a lot of stations are going to end up going.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, how many people, Netflix and Hulu and other such services dominate the market these days. That's all we watch. I mean, we're talking about Arrow Season 2 coming out on Netflix, and, like, you're setting your DVR, we're watching it on Hulu. I mean, that's kind of how it works.
I don't like Hulu. I've been using it lately for some stuff, and I don't like how it's set up. I just want it to be like Netflix. I want it to be more Netflixy. That'd be great.
Fair enough.
Anywho, Geek Movie of the Week. George Romero's original, Dawn of the Dead. Raise your hands if you've seen it. It's 1978. It was a sequel 10 years after the original. And starring... Ooh. Or no, was it... No, Day of the Dead had a young Gregory Nicotero in it from The Walking Dead, which is fun. The original Dawn of the Dead, which... I can't remember the actor's name now, but it stars the creepy old African-American man from Devil's Rejects.
Mm.
He's been in a couple of Rob Zombie flicks.
Huh.
Do you know who I'm talking about? He's like...
Vaguely.
He's like the pimp.
Okay.
In Devil's Rejects. Yeah. So, Cody, Schroeder, you seen it?
I have not.
You've not seen it. Okay, that's too bad. Sorry about
that. Yeah.
Grady, I know you've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's actually... That might have been the first zombie movie I ever
watched.
Ken
Foray.
I think that's the first zombie movie I'd ever seen. Actually.
I think Day of the Dead was the first one I'd ever seen. But Dawn of the Dead followed very shortly.
I think my mother bought it on VHS when it... I remember when Dawn of the Dead came back, like, right at the end of the VHS, early DVD era. Like, they released it, you know, 20th anniversary edition or something to that effect. And she was like, this is really, really good. She's like, I remember seeing it in theaters, and she put it in, and we watched it. And I was like, oh, man! It's like, this is actually pretty good, even though it's however many years old.
When I used to run a lid store in the Terre Haute Mall, Honey Creek Mall, when I would be giving, like, a new employee, like, orientation, and I'd take him through the back ways of the mall to get, like, to the bank and stuff, I'd be like, I always point out, like, here's the roof access in case of zombie apocalypse. That's where you will find me. Please send a helicopter.
And I mean, it as much as Night of the Living Dead sort of created this whole zombie apocalypse genre, I mean, Dawn of the Dead really took it to another level because it was less about...
It wasn't the fleeing, it was the surviving.
Right, and the other thing is that it went from an isolated event in a small house to now it's a massive problem and we are surviving, like you said. And I mean, it's responsible for every sort of zombie apocalypse film we see nowadays. It's responsible for video games. Dead Rising is essentially playing Dawn of the Dead. You get trapped in a mall and there are these zombies everywhere. It's a fantastic film, though. Incredibly gory. Mm-hmm.
Especially for the time.
Oh, yeah.
Really good effects work for the time.
It was, not only is it great effects, but it's stylized. It's a little over the top, which is, I mean, we think of these as staples for zombie films. If you look at Night of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead isn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see people attack, but you're not seeing, oh, the guy when he goes to get, does he go to get gasoline and he gets bit on the arm, and that chunk of arm comes away and you just see like this blup of a, I was like, oh, stomach just does flip-flops when I see that, because like, man, it's gross.
I have the classic Night of the Living Dead on DVD. I bust that out every now and then. I love it. Just love it. I was trying to find it. Day of the Dead. Day of the Living Dead was on... Or is it just... It's Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead was on Netflix. And I watched it last weekend. And I was like, man, I really want to see the original Dawn of the Dead. And it wasn't on Netflix. It wasn't on Hulu. So I just typed it into YouTube. Whole movie. Whole movie's on there. So just watch it on YouTube. So if you want to see Dawn of the Dead, it's on YouTube right now.
But I mean, Romero's always been great at sort of... finding innovative ways to make the zombie film work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see them being vulnerable, but you also see them doing that classic stalker thing as well. I mean, the Hare Krishna scene is just like this whole time you're just screaming at like somebody, like it's this long hallway. Surely somebody, nope, nobody, like he's walking into the, surely somebody's gonna, nope, nope, okay. And just a sense of impending doom as it walks down the corridor. You're just like, somebody, anybody. But then you see the mindlessness of him too. I mean, when it puts its head up into the helicopter blades.
Yep.
Like it's so quintessentially zombie and we don't, that's the first time you see it in film.
Very true. Very true. I didn't think of it that way.
Although the zombies look terrible.
I mean, it was his first time doing it in color. You know, back, you know, when they did Night of the Living Dead, it was black and white in 68, so they just just had to make them look pale. But in this,
almost
they
blue.
Almost blue. Yeah,
yeah
blue
they
zombies.
Very blue.
Attack of the Walking Smurfs. Weird.
They just look weird. They look so weird.
They got it right, though. Like, Day of the Dead, much better.
Right.
Much better looking zombies. And ever since then, of course, we have great looking zombies.
But you were talking about...
I blame Pilates. Very healthy zombies.
You're talking about the Ken Height interview on Blurry Photos. Ken Height credits that as being one of the most important horror innovations of the 21st century. The zombie apocalypse idea that Romero sort of originates or is largely part of. And then Lovecraft. He says those two things have shaped horror in the 20th and 21st centuries.
There you go. You heard it here, folks. So go out. It's it's almost Halloween. Watch some zombie flicks, man. That stuff creeps me out, yo.
Yeah, and go on the Facebooks. Let us know your favorite horror movies. We should talk some horror movies for the last...
Horror movies!
Well, you know. What can you do? Dawn of the Dead. What's that? Zombie Strippers. I mean, they're all kinds of things.
Zombie Strippers is so funny. What did I DVR'd something today on IFC. It was Dance of the Dead. And it's about like a high school prom is where the zombie apocalypse breaks out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. I watched... God, what was the movie called? Pontypool.
I don't know that one.
It's an IFC film. It's on Netflix right now. You can check it out. And it is the beginnings of a zombie apocalypse. Now, it's different. It's not like a viral thing.
Right.
But it's the beginnings of a zombie apocalypse, where it originates from. And it is, it's done in the perspective of, it's a morning radio show.
Huh.
So they're isolated in the sound booth and everything, and they don't know what's going on in the world, and they're getting these weird calls, and they think they're pranks and stuff. And then, like, CNN is calling them for information, and they're like, we don't know anything. And it's almost done like a play, because there's only, like, 5 characters in it.
Huh.
You know, you don't see the zombies a lot. You see them towards the end for maybe 5 minutes, but... it's really impending doom through the whole thing, and just how these people, like, figure it out. It's just so interesting.
I feel like you've talked about this before somewhere.
I think I brought up a Mad Chat recently.
Because I was like, I know this plot line. I know I've heard this somewhere.
It's a pretty interesting movie, if you like the zombie thing. You know, nobody's famous in it. But it was a fun watch, for sure. So check that one out. Especially if you like just good filmmaking in general. It's a really well written, and I'm not even, I don't even call it a play. It's a movie. It's a play.
Huh.
It's a really well written play.
It's interesting now we're getting these. I mean, you have the outbreak of the zombie films, what, late 90s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're kind of getting these sort of postmodern zombie films where they're trying to take it, you know, in a new spin, which I think is fantastic. I only say this because one of my favorite zombie films of all time. Have either of you seen Dead Snow?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Is Dead Snow not, like, one of the best zombie movies ever?
It's pretty awesome, yeah.
Really?
It's the zombie Nazis, right?
Yeah. It's interesting because it's sort of the classic horror movie setup where you get, like, what, like 16, 6, 20-somethings, and they're all in Norway or Sweden. They're somewhere up in the Netherlands, something, you know.
They're all having sex and doing drugs.
Well, that's the thing. They're all going to go up to this cabin, and they're going to ski, and they're going to do all this fun stuff. And so they're all going
like
up to this...
Like blowies?
Probably. So they're all going up into this cabin, and I think one of the best parts of the movie that I thought is that... So they're all going up there, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's no cell phone signal, so we'll have no contact with the outside world. And I remember looking at my buddy Craig while we were watching this movie. I said, oh, they're ripping off The Evil Dead. And then one of the characters on screen goes, huh, this will be just like The Evil Dead.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's neat to see these sort of, you know, adaptations of new zombie films. So that's
like
cool.
The Nazi zombies were like super strong too, weren't they? They were like,
yeah, and they were like quick. Like,
yeah,
they weren't
slow. It was different, yeah.
Yeah, quick zombies, the Dawn of the Dead remake. And then, like, 28 Days, the 28 Days Later movie, which arguably I know aren't zombies.
Rage
zombies or whatever. but still, it's creeptacular. Yeah. So, good to know.
Huh.
Okay, I'll check that out. Dead Snow, huh?
Oh,
is that
it's
on Netflix?
Fantastic.
It was for a while.
It was for a long time.
Okay, well, I'll see if it's available. So, cool. Anyway, that's your Geek Movie of the Week. It's Halloween. Watch some scary stuff, and nothing is scarier than zombies. Except for spiders. Because those are real.
I don't know. I always thought Nightmare on Elm Street was a great series.
I mean, you know what? This was brought up in the book club today. It was a great series until you get to like 4 or 5 when you find out that 2 sucked. But when you get to like 4 or 5 and they're like, oh, you know, because the reason that he's so terrifying is that A, he was a child molester and, you know, then he would kill the children. And that's, like, extra scary, like, horrible. And then, oh, and plus I can invade your dreams and still keep killing. Bye, you can't stop me. But then you get to, like, episode. You get to, like, the 4th or 5th one, like, Dream Warriors or whatever. Dream Child. And you find out that, like, oh, he was beaten as a child. And then you're like, well, now he's a product of society. Like, I can't hate him as much.
Well, to be fair,
he's not as scary because that, you know...
Just going with the first one, you find out that he was burned for being a... I don't know, I've always found him not a sympathetic character, I guess, but a sort of a wrathful vengeance character. Like, the whole him, you know, doing horrible things to children is always sort of, in my mind, a little bit hearsay. I don't know how much they actually factually based that. It's been a long time since I've seen all of them.
Well, and like, you know, in the original one, they couldn't say child molesting back then, really.
Right, so the question is...
They called him a child murderer. But when you watch the remake, they're like, ah, he's doing kiddies, you know?
Well, I mean, and that's, I don't know, it's interesting. I always thought that would...
He's putting his wanger in my boy!
Again, no swearing. We're still good.
I didn't say the F word. I was holding it. I'm holding it, John Graham of FidgetPress.com. Sorry. Because I want to say that like as many times as I can every episode.
John What's that?
John Graham of FidgetPress.com.
Oh, John Graham of FidgetPress.com.
Yes, .com.
.com.
Hey,
it is John Graham at FidgetPress.com.
We have went to French Canada. Canada. Oh, God. Oh, I derailed. All right, this week, our main topic, our focus, is a game that I love, because I only play games on my phone, and that is Angry Birds Transformers. Has anybody played that? Because it's actually really fun.
No, it would not surprise me.
It is free. Download it. It's a lot of fun. Little robot birds. It's cool, man. Soundwave is a pig. anyway, sorry. I derailed. Clash of Clans by Supercell. Cody, Grady, I know you don't play, but Cody Schroeder is in my clan, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're in the Latent Invaders, and we are open for membership right now, if you would like to join us.
Because our wars have been sucking.
Our wars have really sucked lately, so we need some new blood, so come on in. Clash of Clans is, what does MOMA mean?
MOMA?
MOMA or something?
You're talking about MOBA.
MOBA, whatever. What is that? No, we did an episode where you're talking about your gaming. And
I don't remember what it stands for.
I mean,
MOBA
what
is the style of the game, the way that it's set up and your general objectives. It's just a genre. It stands for something. Mobile, something, something, base.
No problem.
Something.
Well, I mean, it's set up like the League of Legends game that we were talking about before, where it's a shared universe.
It's multiplayer, objective based, and then I don't know what the A stands for. It's literally what it is.
Hmm.
I believe.
Multiplayer, objective based application?
Assassination?
No.
Assault, maybe? I don't
know. Okay.
Assault, probably assault.
Clash of Clans. I got into it last Christmas. I saw a funny TV commercial and I was like, oh, it's free. Okay, I'll download that. And I found out, like.
Sucker!
Then I found out my three brothers in law all play it, and they had some really positive things to say, so I downloaded it. And then I got addicted, and now I'm like 10 months I've been addicted to this game. I play it at least twice a day, because that's how many battles you can do if you're getting a shield. But it's set up, you're in a little fictitious universe, you have a finite amount of space in which you build your own village. Kind of Sim City, but in like a fantasy realm, because there's like dragons and crap. And then you can, you attack other villages, and your goal is to just get more trophies. The more trophies you get, you know, the more powerful you are, or whatever. Sorry, I just got a message on my phone. Okay. Sorry. You know what? I just have to look at this. No, this is a serious issue with a friend of mine. Sorry. A friend of mine's having a nervous breakdown. So
not good.
Getting an update. Well,
I mean, I would describe the game as it's more of like a sim real-time strategy where the sim action is you know, build your own, you have a hut and then you basically build up a city, kind of basically like he described it, but the real-time comes in when you're actually raiding other players. And you're trying to basically steal all the resources to build up your base.
So, I mean, would you compare this to, like, Age of Mythology, something like that?
Yeah, Age of Empires.
I see
Age of Empires in it.
It gets there, but your entire income base is from stealing from other players. There is, like...
There are no resources?
Well, there are, but, like, to really... Unless you're going to sit forever... And wait only for your generating
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, you. There's two resources, gold and then something called elixir, and then there's another one called dark elixir. So there's three. I'm a big fat liar. Each of them does something different. Gold you use to upgrade defensive buildings, walls around your fortress. And then with elixir, you use to upgrade, like, barracks for troops.
Unit upgrades.
Unit upgrades, like, you know, raising, like, I want my dragons to be level 2. I need 2 million elixir. Things of that nature. And there was some, oh, and, like, your army camps and all that fun jazz. You have a town hall. That's what it starts with. There's 10 levels of town hall till you max out. You know, each level of town hall upgrade. Are you scratching your butt?
No.
Okay, I'm scratching my balls, so I thought we were touching ourselves at the same time.
Fourth wall.
Sorry.
Breaking it.
Sorry. I get really distracted when people touch their butt in front of me. and while I'm scratching my balls. Each level that you upgrade the town hall, you can upgrade, you know, X amount of buildings or troops to their next level until you have maxed everything out, presumably at town hall 10. But there's updates like every 3 months and they'll add something. There's like, oh, like they just did one recently. They updated. You can get your dark barracks, which give you some of your troops to level 6. So now you get a new troop you can get. They upgraded they changed some of the upgrades that you can do to your troops. So like an archer and a barbarian can now go to level 7 instead of level 6 before they were maxed out. Just silly things like that. So that happens pretty frequently. So there's always something to be upgrading and growing your area. It's really just a fun defensive strategy game, you know? And when you're in a clan, too, then you have a group of people that you can use as a resource for experience. Hey, will you watch this last attack I just did? What could I have done to make it better? Schroeder does it all the time because he's a noob. I'm at Town Hall level 9, so I'm a little fancy. Although, when I started playing the game, I really screwed up because I didn't know to not just immediately start upgrading my Town Hall all the time. So, like, within a couple weeks of starting the game, I upgraded my Town Hall to level 9, and none of my defenses were up to par with that, so the people attacking me were just wiping me out and taking all my trophies all the time. And it's been 9 months now of me, like, getting to where I should be. So right now I'm set up as a decent level 9 player. Mm. I have the most trophies in our clan. You know, I'm doing pretty solid right now, but God, it took forever. I really screwed up. Schroeder's doing it right.
So I might be a noob, but I learned from everybody else's mistakes, and I'm pretty much to max out level 7.
He's maxing out all of his defense, everything that can be upgraded. He is maxing it out at level, and then he will upgrade to Town Hall 8, which is what I still now, millions and millions and millions of gold pieces required for me to do that.
Now, is this the meta for the game, or is this just the way that you guys tend to play it?
What do you mean?
Okay. You know what I mean?
Remember, I don't know what meta means.
That's okay. That's okay. Schroeder's on the same page with me.
Grady's talking about just your personality and how you play games in general. Where there are people who, like, if you're wanting to just rush through the story, or if you're talking about other kinds of games, or the people who have to walk through and find every little thing.
But I mean, also, like, common practices. What you guys are doing, is it the common standard thing? Is it the assumed best way to play this game?
Oh, man,
or are there other people who do it differently?
There are plenty of people that do it differently. I mean, there's just millions of people that play this game.
Like, are there successful people who do rush in their clan, their town hall to 9, and are able to succeed doing it differently from your more defensive turtle shell?
That would take
strategy.
A tremendous amount of money. Because it is what you would call a freemium app.
Right.
So it's free download, free to play, no problem. You can play for free for the rest of your life. But if you want your upgrades to be faster, because, like, sometimes, like, there's one troop, the strongest troop is called a P.E.K.K.A. And it's, like, it's a hollow suit of armor. Robotic, could be a ghost, you don't know. But, like, when I go to upgrade mine to its next level, to level 4, it's going to take 14 days of waiting.
Hmm.
Like, that's a long time. So some, you know, I could probably spend $15 and buy these gems that you then use to speed that process up. There's also gems you can use to boost the production of your resources or your troop output if you like to fight more frequently. Like, I think 10 gems will make your barracks output your troops like four times faster for a 2-hour period of time. So, like, if you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down tonight, I'm making a trophy push. I want to get to a certain amount of trophies because the higher trophies you get, then the more resources you're able to steal when you battle. So I don't know what I was saying. Crap!
That's okay.
I lost my brain.
Yeah, I think you were just talking about pushing.
Okay, so yeah, so if you're going to sit down and do that, then you can use your gems for that. But a lot of people just waste them willy-nilly and spend a lot of money.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the goal. This is how these game developers feed their families, is to do stuff like this. I mean, we had the episode over League of Legends, so I've been working towards one brand new champ, which will take me approximately 63 games to earn the amount of IP that I need to buy it. Or I could spend $15 right now and have that champion. I refuse to spend money on it, so I'm going to keep playing it the way through, but lots of people spend a lot of money on this type of stuff. That's how they hook you.
The last update that went through in which a new troop was
not even micro, because sometimes it's some serious money.
Yeah. The last time there was an update a couple weeks ago in which a new troop was released, it's called a Lava Hound. And so you had to upgrade your Dark Barracks from level 5 to level 6, and then you could use that. And there was 3 available levels of Lava Hound. So immediately, at 8 in the morning, the maintenance goes through, the update's on. By 9 o'clock, there are YouTube videos of people that have maxed out level 3 Lava Hounds. That took probably $50.
Yeah. Like,
just ridiculous amounts of money can just be spent. Hi, train. Yeah. Hope you all can hear that at home.
You have so much editing work to do.
No, I'll leave the train in. I don't care. I'm not like you. I'm not a perfectionist, dude. 5 minutes, I'll be done. So sorry about the high-quality crap of this episode, because I'm not letting the technical director edit this time. Anyway.
That's okay. I enjoy the break.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it? Clash of Clans is just really... If you are a person that liked playing, like, Risk as a child, or Final Fantasy-style games, this is
turn-based, is it?
It's not turn-based in a, like, in your battles, but, like... When you go and attack a village, you know, you're just giving it everything you got for that time. I think it's 2.5 minutes you get for a battle.
Huh.
Now,
are you clicking and pushing buttons while that happens, or is it totally automated?
It's all on screen. You're tapping on the screen where you're releasing.
Well, you're doing is, you're just dropping your troop, and then your troop, once it's on the ground, does its own thing.
Certain troops do certain things. Yeah. Some of the troops will attack defensive buildings first. Some troops will attack only one certain defensive building first. You know,
so you're engaging what drops when, but you have no control over the individual units once they're on the battlefield.
Yeah. Correct. So again, it's more strategic. And if you like those kinds of games, it's really wonderful because you only really have to play it 5 minutes a day. You know, you do 2 battles a day pretty much and you're covered. Maybe 5 minutes more of upgrading stuff and harvesting your elixirs and your resources. It is just super fun. I've really enjoyed it. What about you, Schroeder?
Yeah, I mean, I played before, but I didn't have anybody else to play with.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games that, like, yes, it's fun to play on your own, but it's so much more fun when you have a group of people that you can talk to about it.
Right. Like, our clan has in it my 3 brothers-in-law, whom I love. It's got Schroeder here. It's got Jeff Thorpe, another Follow Networks fanboy and super awesome guy in general. And then one of my brothers-in-law, the clan was started by him, me, and, the actual leader is a buddy named Jack Castile, and, he's my brother-in-law's old boss. And so my brother-in-law knows almost everybody in the clan. So it's just tight-knit. Like, when we go visit, up north and see the family... You know, I'll go hang out with my brother-in-law, and then I go to his house, and automatically, like, 4 people from the from our clan are there.
Gotcha.
You know, and we'll all sit there and, you know, just talk and hang out and drink, and then we'll bust out our phones and, you know, we'll all battle together and, like, just watch and make sure everything's going good and critiquing each other, and really cool.
So you have the ability to watch while someone else battles, and then...
There is something called wars in this game, which is... where it's one clan versus another clan. So say you have 35 members of your clan, it's going to match you up with a moderately evenly based clan of 35 members.
Gotcha.
And then you have 24 hours, and everybody gets two attacks on each clan.
I see.
In that case, yes, you can watch the battle live. Most of the time, though, you can watch replays if the person shares their replay with you in the clan. You can do that. In the wars, also, if you don't get on like while somebody's battling, then you can just go back and watch any fight as well, which is another really great way to just grow.
Hmm.
So,
yeah, you can pretty much watch any replay from a war at any time.
Yeah, which is very helpful.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, just the strategies that people use. Some people, like one of my brother-in-laws, John, he just he'll get like 10 dragons, which are troop, and they're very strong, great attack, good defense, and he'll just drop them all at once and just let them sweep across the board. I use something called Hog Riders. Mine are maxed out at level 5, and they just kick so much butt. And what they do is they're able to hop walls, so there's no defense against that, and they go right for your defensive building. So I'll drop, like, just a crap ton of hogs. Wipe out defensive strategy, defensive buildings, and then I'll release behind them some wizards and archers and other variant giants and whatever, and Mr. they go T in and sweep up and clean up the rest.
Riding a pig.
Yeah, it is. It's Mr. T. It's based on Mr. T, like, literally. Yep. He's riding a giant pig. It's pretty fun.
You guys are playing Magic the Gathering is what you're doing.
Yeah. A lot of the characters.
Flying. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Well, and a lot of the things, like the Lava Hound, when they released that, I was like, that sounds weird. Because the other, the troops, Barbarian.
When this unit dies, spawn 8/1/1 tokens.
I don't have enough blue mana. Barbarians, Archers, Goblins, Giants.
I don't play Magic now.
There's healers, there's like angels, there's dragons, wizards.
Goblins.
I said goblins. P.E.K.K.A., dragons, wall breakers. That was one I was leaving off. Thank you. And balloons, which are like bombers. And you also have the dark troops are like, minions. What? You have minions, which are like these weird flying gargoyle-y looking things. Hog riders.
Valkyrie,
Witch, Golem, and now the Lava Hound. So, like, when they release the Lava Hound, like, most of these things you've heard of. You've heard of a goblin, you know?
Right.
You've heard of a dragon. When the Lava Hound came out, I was like, what the heck is that? You know, so I Googled it, and, like, yeah, it's a Magic the Gathering card. So you could play your Lava Hound. I don't know if it's going to go for your air defenses like it's going to in Clash of Clans, but...
when it dies, it spawns 8/1/1 tokens.
It does. It really does.
That's literally why I said that. When it dies, it's fine.
You need another flying creature in order to block your flying creature.
You can have flying walls. Those are sweet.
Not in this game, you can't.
0/4/4, flying wall.
You know what? Write to the people at Supercell. Let's get that happening. What's a flying wall?
Flying walls. Never made any sense to me in Magic the Gathering, but that's okay. Did you see somebody opened up an old, I think it was an old beta pack? And got the
$30,000 card.
Yeah. Guy opened up an old pack and found a card worth $30,000.
Who would pay $30,000 for a card?
And it's a picture of a flower.
No, it's in a pack. It's
like a booster pack.
Yeah, I understand that. It's worth $30,000, but that means somebody would pay $30,000 for it.
Yep.
Who? I would like to meet this
collectors.
Person.
Yeah. It's a really rare card. But it's arguable whether or not it's worth that much, even to a collector. But at the same time, it's a really, really, really rare card that breaks the game entirely. There are a number of those out there. They call them the Power 9? I think they call them the Power 9. There are like 9 Magic cards that in the early part of the game they created that just make no sense. They were like godly cards. You could just destroy all kinds of things and you were just overpowered as shit. Oops.
Ah! Cody cuss. Cody's got a dirty mouth.
That's okay. Matt has to edit this.
I'm going to leave it in now, man. I'm just going to put explicit on this. I don't care. No, I'll fix it. Anywho.
You're letting down John Graham from FidgetPress.com.
Anyway, anything to add about Clash of Clans? It's just a really fun game.
It is, yeah.
It's a good time.
I like playing at work.
I play it a lot when I poop.
Well, I do that, too.
Yeah, I play that, and I play Angry Birds Transformers now.
It's taking awesome. It into my reading time.
Yeah. on the crapper?
Yep.
Nice.
See, that's where you gotta get your war done, then read your Lovecraft. Because both of you could be reading Lovecraft in the job.
Very true.
I'm a bathtub reader. I'm weird like that. I don't know.
You take baths?
Weird. I do.
Ew, don't you just feel like you're sitting in a...
I shower first.
Oh, that's even weird. That is such a waste of water. Oh, wait, do you shower and then plug the drain while you're showering so it fills up with your shower water?
No, not entirely.
Okay.
He waits until he's clean, yeah?
That's really weird.
I shower, like, 2 minutes and I'm done. And then I'm laying down.
That's what that smell is.
Yeah, sure.
I almost touched your dick. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't.
I got to, like, inner thigh.
No,
you didn't. I feel I'm
fourth wall.
I almost cut your Witcher.
Fourth wall.
I'm a tiny person. I can't help.
You have a tiny penis?
No. I said I'm a tiny person.
Oh, sorry. I read into that too much. Freud. Are you hitting on me? Anyway, that's all for Clash of Clans. Check it out. And like I said, it's free to download. See if it's even something you would like to play because it's pretty fun. Check it out.
And if you now. Like it.
Oh, my father-in-law's in our clan, too. I forgot to say that. Oh, shout out Steve, man. Mm-hmm.
It's Sedge, right?
Sedge, yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
It's so fun to, like, we have these, like, you know, you make up your own avatar names, and, like, mine's just Edder, because I'm not original.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Mine's my go-to, the old stat cap. It's never changing. It's 8 years in every single console, every single game I play.
That's fun. Yeah. All right, then. Anything else to add, then, gentlemen?
Do we have any announcements?
Yes. The weekend of November 11th. Is that a weekend?
I have no idea.
The second full weekend of November, we will be at the Independent Show at the Radisson by the airport here in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hey, who runs that Independent Show?
I think it's John Graham of FidgetPress.com.
John Graham of FidgetPress.com?
Whoa! Anyway, me, Lucas, and Cody will be there trying to sell our wares. So come on by. It's $4 admission. There'll be a lot of local creators there of different, comics mostly, but of other things as well. So it's a really great program. You should come out there. November 1st, The Android's Dungeon. Again, we are doing another book club. It is Fables, Volume 1. So check that out. What else is there to plug? Lindustria Inferne on Amazon.com by Lucas Patterson.
Do they decide if they're going to Geek Galaxy yet or not? They're still working
on it. Oh, in Evansville?
Yeah.
They need to talk to you about that, because they're not sure. They want you to go.
I know.
So, we might be in Geek Galaxy. That'll be Sunday, the same weekend of Independent Show. There'll be a panel at Geek Galaxy in Evansville, Indiana.
If you guys are in Southern Indiana, write on the Facebook wall. Let us know that we should go to Geek Galaxy and how awesome Evansville is.
Evansville's pretty cool.
I almost went to school there, actually.
That's where my fraternity's based. Our national headquarters is in Evansville.
Huh.
Yeah. It's really weird. Weird place for it. But whatever. It's cool. So from here at the brothel, then, we bid you adieu. Have a wonderful evening, and I'm going to be in my garage with the lights on all night.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wasting electricity.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to keep them on just, like, forever now. I'm just so happy. I can see all the corners. Kitchen. It's not creepy in here. I will see the spiders approaching me instead of finding them on me. I'm so happy. So happy. So happy!